Hebrews this morning, chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1 this morning. And again, we're so thankful to have you visiting with us today. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. And if you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to come back and be a part. Amen. If God leads you, we need you. Amen. If you've been saved by the grace of God, and if you hadn't been saved, then today would be the day. Amen. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you'll stand with us this morning, Hebrews chapter number 2, and look with us in verse number 4 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible said, being so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Father, we want to thank you this morning. As we've already heard it sung, we want to thank you for what you've done. We want to thank you, dear God, for Calvary this morning. We want to thank you that your hand reached further down than what we could reach up. And I pray this morning, God, that you would speak to some sinner's heart. I pray that the Holy Ghost would convict them and draw them to an altar of repentance, and they'd be born again in the family of God. I ask you, Lord, to save the lost this morning. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Encourage those this morning that need to be encouraged. And most of all, we pray that you'll get glory and honor for everything that'll be said and done today. For we love you. We ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in verse number 4 here, the first phrase where the Bible says, being so much better than angels. And I want you to take a close look at verse number 4 for just a moment. And I want us to think about this opening statement here, being so much better than the angels. Now, when you think about angels this morning, we know that the word angel means messenger. And we know that in the Bible that God, as his angels were created, they are God's warriors and they are God's workers and they are God's worshipers. Angels know how to worship God. Amen. And they're God's witnesses. As they deliver the message, amen, the message of salvation, the message of his birth, the message of the resurrection. And angels are seen all throughout the Word of God. In fact, if you look, there's several facts about angels in the Old Testament. There's 108 direct quotes in the Old Testament that deals with angels. In the New Testament, there's 165 quotes that deals with angels. Angels were created by God and meant to live and have been beings forever and ever. When you think about angels, there's no female angels in the Bible. Angels, according to Colossians 1 and verse number 17, they were created simultaneously. And angels, listen, when you think about that, occasionally angels took human form on this earth, and many times they were mistaken as men. The Bible talks about at the resurrection that there was two men that was sitting there where Jesus had been lying, but they were not just men. They were angels, amen. According to the Word of God, angels are not humans, but they're spirit beings and do not have flesh and blood. Angels, according to Matthew chapter 22, cannot marry and do not procreate. And angels are not subject to death. When you think about nowhere in the Bible do angels angels die or are they annihilated? Angels live in all three heavens. They live in the heavens where God dwells. They have access to the heavens of this universe. And even in the very bowels of hell, we find that there are angels, fallen angels, that are there. All throughout the Word of God, the Bible mentions angels. In Revelation 12 and verse 4, the Bible reminds us that a third of these angels that God had created simultaneously rebelled with Lucifer against God and they fell from heaven. Amen. Angels are very highly organized and angels have different ranks. Michael, the archangel, amen. When you think about Michael, that angel, he's in charge of the army of God. And Gabriel is known as a mighty angel. And then there was Lucifer, who we know to be Satan at one time, was a very high ranking angel. And then there are cherubims and seraphims in the Word of God that have wings. And when you think about these angels, they're very organized in their character. They're very organized in their ranks. Some have dominion over authorities and powers and principalities and different types of positions. Some even believe that Michael and Gabriel and Lucifer at one time, that they were all assistants to the Godhead. Michael being an assistant to the Father, Gabriel being assistant to the Spirit, and then Lucifer being an assistant to the Son, which might even be one reason why that Lucifer so mimics Christ and so hates the Christ. There's a lot of fascinating things about the facts concerning angels. Amen. And then there's also the falsehood about angels. I mean, when you think about the writer here in Hebrews, the purpose of him making this statement and dealing with angels in these verses here is because that those Jews, oftentimes they would teach in their rabbinical teachings that that angels were the highest creature under God. In other words, they taught and still do today, they teach that angels serve as some kind of senate or some kind of council, that whenever God gets ready to make a decision, that he consults with that council for some type of direction. Now, we know that's not true. We know that's false. Amen. They go so far in their Jewish rabbinical teachings to teach that in Genesis 1:27, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," that he was not talking about Jesus Christ, for they do not believe Jesus to be the Son of God, but they believe that he was talking to angels. Well, the only problem with that is that angel, or that man, was not made in the image of angels. We're made in the image of God. Amen. And angels were not created in the image of God. Amen. And so there's a lot of falsehood. And when that's the reason that the writer of Hebrews is dealing with this subject here, he wants us to know that no matter what we think about angels, angels were, listen, they were instrumental according to Deuteronomy 33 and Psalm 68, and even what Stephen said in Acts chapter number 7, that thousands of angels were instrumental in the giving of the law at Sinai. And so you can see why these Jews elevated these angels so high. Even though there's much to be said about angels, God wants us to understand, and the writer of this book wants us to understand, that as great as angels are, thank God there is one in heaven that is so much better than the angels. Amen. There is one that outshines them all. I'm talking about trillions and trillions of angelic beings, as powerful and as great as they are. They all pale in comparison. For the Bible says, he talking about Christ being so much better than the angels. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad who we serve this morning is better than Michael. He's better than Gabriel. He's stronger than Lucifer. Thank God he's better than the trillions of angelic beings. He's better than the ones that are around the throne, as majestic as they are. They do not compare. For even when John saw Jesus, he fell at his feet as one that was dead. Amen. I'm telling you, in heaven, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to outshine all the beings, all the creatures, all the creation, all the glitter, all the gold. Jesus will outshine them all. Hallelujah. on the other side. Amen. And when we come to this text this morning, there is the final conclusion about the angels, because what the writer is going to do, and I want you to see this in this text here, is that there is seven Old Testament quotations that he takes. In fact, when you get to verse number 5 all the way down to verse number 13, what he's going to do is just quote the Old Testament. Amen. Because he wants these Jews to know that you don't need to be worshiping angels, because angels worship the Son. Amen. And we need to worship the one that God has elevated. I think what Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. No angel could ever make that statement. Amen. He said, behold, I'm he that liveth, in Revelation 1:7. He said, behold, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. No angel could ever make that statement. He said in John 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. No angel could ever make that statement. I'm telling you, all throughout the Word of God, he said in John chapter number 10 and verse 27, he said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No angel could promise peace. No angel has the power of resurrection in and of itself. No angel, thank God, could conquer Satan by himself. But the one that's better than all these angels, he is the supreme one. He is a superior one. He is the selected one this morning. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes on that subject, on Christ, the Supreme One. Amen. He is Christ, the selected one in verses 1 through 4, but he is Christ, the Supreme One, in the rest of this chapter. And God makes it clear that the reason he selected him is because he is just better. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, in 2024, there's not a lot of things that aren't better, but I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, he is better. He's got a better book. He's got a better promise. He's got a better home. He's got a better way. He's got a better salvation. He is just better this morning. Amen. Notice in our text today, these seven Old Testament quotations that the writer uses to prove from the Old Testament that Jesus is better than the angels. And if you go to verse number 5, notice this statement here, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That is Psalms 2 and verse 7. You'll also notice in verse number 5, he said, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That's 2 Samuel 7 and verse 14. If you go to verse number 7, the Bible here, the psalmist uses Psalms 104 and verse number 4, when he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Then in verse number 8 and verse 9, he quotes Psalms 45 and verse 6 and 7. Then in verse number 10, 11, and 12, he quotes Psalms 102, verse 25 and 26 and 27. And then in verse number 13, he said, sit on my right hand. He said, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's Psalms 110 and verse 1. You say, what do you say? And preacher, I'm seeing the writer of Hebrews, who we believe to be the Apostle Paul. You know what he does? He just rolls out the Old Testament, because them Jews couldn't argue with the Old Testament. Amen. It was the very book they said was the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's enough New Testament to prove that Jesus is better than angels, but there's enough Old Testament to prove that Christ is the Supreme One this morning. He's better than angels. He's better in his sonship in verse 5, thou art my son. He's better in his worship in verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship him. He's better in his heirship in verse 7, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. He talks about of thy kingdom in verse number 10. He's better in his kingship, for he said, Lord, thou hast in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. Amen. He's better in his rulership in verse 11, when he said, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old like a garment. He said in verse number 13, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Christ is better in his sonship. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is better in his worship. He is better in his heirship. He is better in his kingship. He is the King of kings, the King immortal, the King invisible, the King of the Jews, the King of the ages, the King of heaven, the King of hell, the King of glory, the King of earth, the King of all kings. He's just better in his kingship. He's better in his rulership. Why? Because he is the supreme one this morning. And in this text, he deals with that in light of three things I want to give you. He deals with it, number one, in light of his relationship. Look at verse 5 again, verse 4. Who being so much better than the angels, notice this, as he hath by an inheritance obtained, notice this, a more excellent name than they. He's got a better name than the angels. Philippians 2 in verse number 5 said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then verse number 9 says this, wherefore, because of his obedience, because of his sacrifice, because of his death, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Hey, that's not just human form. That's every knee. Amen. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm glad he's supreme in his name. He's better in his relationship. He's got a better name. There's just something about that name. I'm telling you, in the wee hours of the night, there's something about the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, in the midst of the valley, just to hear his name, the very mention of his name, it causes demons to tremble. Thank God it stills the storm. It lifts our spirit. It helps the saint. Just the mention of his name, it causes angelic beings to worship. And thank God this morning, he is better in his relationship. He is better in his name. Hallelujah. He's supreme, isn't he? He's better in his nature. Look at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He never said that to one angel, but he said it to the Son, didn't he? We are the sons of God. The Bible said that in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1 when he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Therefore the world knoweth us not because they knew him not. And beloved, he said, now are we the sons of God, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I want to say this morning, we are the sons of God, but there's only one begotten Son of God. Jesus, my friend, he was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, but we don't worship Mary this morning. Amen. I'm telling you, Mary was just a woman. Amen. She was just a vessel. She was highly favored. Amen. But Mary had to come by way of the cross, just like you and I got to come by way of the cross. But we worship the Son of God. Hallelujah. Better in his nature this morning. Was God in the flesh, wasn't he? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want to say in this chapter here, there's divine names are given unto him. He is called the Son of God. He's called the Lord, and he's called God. All in this chapter here, for that's who he is. We think about his divine works in this chapter. This chapter teaches that Christ creates. He sustains. He governs. He redeems. He purges our sins. He rules. Amen. I'm talking about his divine worth. He is one to be worshipped by the angels, and he is one to be worshipped worship by us. Amen. You know what we came to do this morning? We came to worship him. Amen. Now listen, we got food and fellowship, but that ain't really why we came. We came to worship God this morning. We came to worship him in song. We came to worship around the word of God. I'm thankful we still got a Bible. Amen. I was going down the road this morning and I passed an occult and I thought to myself, dear God, Lord, it's just by your grace that that's not me going to one of those messes. I'm glad I know the truth this morning. Christ said, and you shall know the truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible said to buy the truth and sell it not. I'm glad that one day the truth came to my doorstep. I'm glad that one day I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard that I was a hell-bound sinner and that I could not save myself. I'm thankful this morning that somebody preached the truth to me. Amen. We're not after your money this morning. We're after your soul. I'm not interested, nor is this church, in how much you can put in the offering plate. As I said, we us Christians, we tithe and we give. But we know it's not about money this morning. We know it's about him today. I tell you, I'd rather tell somebody the truth and them go home half-cocked and mad about it and think about it. Amen. Has to stroke their ego and send them home and get a little more out of their pocketbook this morning. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, you're lost without God. I want to tell you, I came to church with a burden, with a heavy soul this morning. I believe with all my heart there's somebody. You need to get born again. You need to get born in the family of God. I'm here to tell you, good works is not going to get you to heaven. Joining a church is not going to get you to heaven. Putting money in an offering plate is not going to get you to heaven. Getting baptized is not going to get you to heaven. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friend, you got to be born again. You got to pass from death unto life. You got to get out of the graveyard. If you're going to go to heaven, friend, you got to have a spiritual birth. And if you don't have peace, then you need to come this morning and be saved by the grace of God. You know why? Because Christ, he's just better. The greatest thing that ever happened to any of us, you already know what it is. It's when you got saved. Brother, I'm telling you, getting saved is better. I'd rather be broke as Job's turkey, wouldn't you? Poor as Job's turkey. And know that I'm saved. I'd rather not have a house to live in. I'd rather be, you say, preacher, you want to live under a bridge? No, but I'd rather live under a bridge and be saved as live in a big old fancy house and be lost. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd rather struggle with just a meager part to get by in this life and be like old Lazarus there in Luke chapter 16 and know that when I died, thank God I could pillow my head and know that I'm going to see Jesus, amen, in the portals of glory the very moment I draw my last breath here, to know that I'm drawing my next breath in a new body, thank God, in a land that's fairer than day. I'd rather live under a bridge and know that as to have everything this world could ever offer and to not be saved. Amen. Don't feel sorry for us for being a Christian. We feel sorry for you for not being one. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the best thing that ever happened to me and the best thing that ever happened to you and the best thing that ever happened to any of us was the day that we got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I wouldn't want to go to church if I wasn't saved. I mean, I dread every single service. That's what's wrong with some of you. I wouldn't want to sing in the choir. I wouldn't want to go to Sunday school. I'm telling you, I wouldn't get nothing out of this place if I wasn't saved. I tell you why. I'd rather be on the lake somewhere this morning if I wasn't saved. I'd rather be out in the woods somewhere if I wasn't saved. I'd rather be doing anything else other than this. But I'm going to tell you, when God saves you, he introduces you to somebody that's better than all the things of this world. They're better than all the entertainment. He's better than all the pleasures. He's better than all the treasures. Thank God I found the treasure when I found the Lord. He's worthy this morning. See, why y'all go to church so much? It's real simple. Because we want to. And if you're not saved, you'll never figure that out. I'm not looking. Listen, I don't stay at the house and play sick. Somebody say amen. People get sick and can't go to church and then they get resurrected before Monday morning. Amen. They're not sick. They're lying is what they're doing. They got a sickness. Are y'all still with me? I'm just telling you, thank God. When I got saved, I didn't want to listen to their music. I didn't want to go to church. But isn't it amazing after you get saved? Hey, by the grace of God, if everybody in this building walks out, I'm still going to church. Don't you feel that way? I'm telling you, if everybody quits, are you still going to go? I'm telling you, if I have to say goodbye to my dearest friend here on earth, if she has to say it to me, you know what? We're still going to the house of God. We're still going to hook up with the church. You know why? Because he's just better, amen. Man in his relationship, in his name, his nature, he's better, thank God. The angels announced the birth of Jesus to Mary, to Joseph, to Zachariah. They sang in the fields to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Listen, the angels, they ministered to Christ in the wilderness. They announced his resurrection at the empty tomb. Even on that morning of ascension there on the top of that mountain, when Christ ascended back into heaven, they proclaimed his coming again. As they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? Oh, the angels have a big part in what took place in the life of Christ, but they're not better, thank God. It's not Jesus talking about them, but it's them talking about Jesus, amen. And an angel will stand in the sun in Revelation 19 and declare the supper of the great God. An angel will come down from heaven with a great chain in his hand, and he'll bind Lucifer, Satan, the old dragon, for 1,000 years. But everything in eternity is going to be centered around the sun, because he's better in his relationship. He's better in his reign. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says here in verse 8, and unto the angels, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. In this one verse, we see Christ's deity, but unto the Son, he saith, we see his sovereignty, thy throne, O God, again, his deity. We see his dynasty, it's forever and ever. We see his authority, a scepter, amen. We see his integrity, it's righteousness, amen. We see his spirituality, it's of his kingdom, amen. He is the anointed in verse number 7. Think about this, his authority in verse 8, his anointing in verse 9, his adversaries in verse number 11, they shall perish, the Bible says. Why? Because of his ability in verse 10. The Bible says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Now think about this. There is galaxy and universes. I'm talking about eons and eons of galaxies and universes that man has no idea about. The stars are more than the sand of the sea, but yet God knows every single one of them by name. His wisdom is far beyond the heavens. His ability goes far beyond of the very depths of hell. There is no power that can stop him. Thank God, there is no army that can defeat him. There is no problem too big for him. He said, I am God, and besides me, there is none other. Amen. I'm telling you, the false gods of this world will crumble, and the armies will one day be annihilated. The kings of this earth will bow down at his feet. But thank God, his throne is going to be forever and forever. And of his kingdom, the Bible said, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's the supreme one. And this morning, he is better in his relationship. He's better in his reign. No one ever reigned like Jesus. And no one ever will. For 1,000 years, Christ is going to reign on this earth. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe every word of it, because the Bible says so. Now, the Jehovah Witness, the false witness, they got it wrong. That's what I drove past this morning. They believe the world's getting better. I wonder if they still believe that after the last 4 years. They think we're getting closer to a utopia. The world's getting better. Well, I'm telling you, when eggs are $3.29. Now listen, even people from Alabama knows that things are not getting better. Isn't that right? I mean, you go to West Virginia and talk to them, they know better than that. We're not living in a utopia. This world's a falling apart. It's rocking and reeling on every axle. I'm telling you, there's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's famines and there's pestilence. I'm talking about the economy's turned upside down and inside out. But I'm here to tell you, everything's all right in heaven this morning. There's a God seated high upon a throne, and the Son of God is sitting at his right hand, and the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God will not let anything happen that what he does not want it to take place. And when he comes again, there's going to be peace on this earth like the world has never seen before. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Because he is the supreme one. You know what I like about that? There ain't nobody voting on him. No ballot boxes. No secret drops in the middle of the night. Them Democrats would do it for sure if they could. You know that. Amen. There ain't none of that mess going to take place. Amen. He's not coming to take a poll to see who's for him and who's against him. I'm telling you, he's not coming to ask questions. He's coming to take over, friend. And when he comes, thank God, that's what he's going to do. He's always been in charge. He is supreme in his relationship. He's supreme in his reign. And then notice lastly, he is supreme in his reward this morning. Verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? You know, Lucifer tried that. And he got cast out of heaven for it. And his reward is seen in his seat. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. His reward is in his success. His enemies are going to be made his footstool. I like that old song. They sing, sometimes you hear folks sing it, how can I lose the battle when I got God on my side? Isn't that true? We're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side. I feel sorry for this world because they don't know Jesus. They're doing the only thing that they know to do. They're blind sinners walking in darkness. That's why they hate the very mention of God's name. That's why they hate the very mention of Christ. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 2 that the rulers of this world, they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They hate Christianity with a passion because Christianity reminds them of their greatest need, that they need Christ. I want to tell you the greatest thing that ever happened was the day that God pulled the scales off our eyes and we saw ourselves a sinner. Hey, listen to me. Have you ever seen yourself a sinner? Amen. So, well, brother, I'm a pretty good person. No, the Bible said there is none that doeth good. Well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. It's impossible. You haven't kept the Ten Commandments. Have you loved the Lord thy God with all your heart? You say, well, Brother Gravely, I've done this and I've done that. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. You know how you get saved? You swallow your pride. You get out of that seat. You come down here to an old-fashioned altar and you just wave the old white flag and say, God, I am a sinner and you are my Savior and I need to be saved. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a lot of people in hell right now because they love their sin too much. You got to repent, friend. You got to believe the gospel, but you got to repent of your sins. As long as you think what you're doing is okay, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. But if you ever see yourself a sinner, I was just a boy when I saw myself a sinner. And I knew I was in trouble with God. I hadn't drank, smoked, or done any chewed or run with those who do. But I'll tell you, I was as big of a sinner as anybody else. Because David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, your problem this morning, you got a blood problem. You got sin in these veins. That's why these hairs turn gray and these faces get wrinkled and these bodies get bent. These minds don't get as, they lose their sharpness. You know why? Because death is in our veins. We're sinners. And sinners have to be saved. You got to be born again. I think, I believe in Holy Ghost conviction. I do not believe it is mystical. I don't think it's a goosebump running up and down your spine. It's nowhere in the Bible. The day I got saved, I got plumb sick at my stomach because of the reality of going to hell shook the very frame of my being. But I'm going to tell you, that nauseousness was not conviction. I'm going to tell you what conviction is. It's when God turns the light on and lets you see yourself. I feel sorry for people that can't see themselves. I pray this morning if you're lost, or if you could just see that you're a sinner, that'd be the best day. It'd be the worst thing you'll ever see, but it'd be the best thing because Romans 5 and verse 8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, we sung one of them songs this morning. And a part of that song said, I'm just a sinner. I thought, boy, what a glad day when I realized I'm just a sinner. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sinner, Jesus died for you. And I won't see you get saved. This whole church wants to see you get saved. Visitor, member, doesn't make no difference who you are this morning. Don't you want to go to heaven when this life's over with? Stephen, you glad you got saved? You're on week number three and a half. Tell it. Yeah, brother, go ahead. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God, ain't it? You know what that next verse says? It says, if you go back up there, Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and hope maketh not ashamed. Here it is. For the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You know why you can say that? Because when you got saved, the love of God got shed abroad in your heart. Amen. Amen. Old songwriter said it makes me love everybody. I worry about people that don't, they say they're saved and they can't hook up with the church. I worry about them. But when you get saved, you love the things God loves and you hate the things God hates. Amen. It doesn't mean we don't still sin, but I'll tell you something. When I sinned this week. I know y'all can't believe that because none of y'all did, I know. But I sinned this week, and I'm not proud of it. And I didn't go off into some deep, dark, gross thing. But I sinned this week, and when I did, immediately, the Holy Ghost, he just reminded me of it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. If that grieves you, it grieves me. When you're lost, it don't grieve you. But I tell you, when you get saved, I've hurt him more times than I ever want to say, but I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to say something to you that would grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, that's something God puts in your heart when you get saved. A desire. We don't always do right, but he puts a desire to want to do right. Isn't that right? As we stand this morning, I wonder, our heads are about, eyes are closed.